Okay, good morning, everybody. It's the 6th of the month of Av, 5780. It's the 27th of July, 2020. We're studying the 89th Mizmor of Tehillim, which we began yesterday, and we noted that it's really about the singular relationship between David and Hashem, and I wanted to focus on that theme this morning, beginning with the 21st verse and reading some 10 to 12 verses, and then reflecting on it, the meaning of this in halacha and also in Jewish history. Matzati David Avdi b'shemen kodshi mishachtiv. David was somehow found by Hashem, right? He was found in an unlikely place. We talked about it a little bit earlier in Sefer Tehillim. He was taken mimichla ost zon from his role as a shepherd. Asher yadi tikon imo avzroi tamzenu. I strengthened him, I fortified him. Lo yashio yivbo v'navla lo yanenu. Removed his enemies and people of ill intent and people generally immoral from assaulting him. V'chatoti mipanav tzarav misanav egov. Again, those who were his enemies, tzarav, those who despised him, misanav. David HaMelech aroused strong emotions in every direction. God cut down, v'emunati v'chazdi imo v'shmi tarum karno. And my faithfulness, my firmness, my commitment to him and my kindness is with him. And I have elevated him, v'samti v'yam yado v'anarot yamino, hu yikra'eni aviata, eli v'tzor yeshuati. He relates to me as a father. And some of that closeness we saw earlier in Sefer Tehillim, we'll have at the beginning of the month of Elul, Ke'avivi mi'azavuni v'ashem yasveni. Nobody perhaps felt that sense of paternal bond with the Almighty more than David. Afani b'chor etneyu, and I relate to him as a son, but not just any son. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, the Torah says. So on a personal level, David is b'chor etneyu, elyon l'malchei aretz, elevated above all the kings of the earth. The olam mishmor lo chazdi uvriti ne'emenet lo, and it will be an eternal covenant of kindness, v'antila samtila ad zaro v'chiso kimei shamayim, and his house will be forever. This is what the Torah aspired to for the king. L'man yarich yamim ha'malachto huvanav b'kerav Yisrael. And now we have the kicker, and this is the great contrast between David and Shaul. Im yazvu v'anav tarati v'mishpatai lo yilechun, im chukotai yichaleilu mitzvotai lo yishmoru. If his sons, and unfortunately it happened already in the generation that followed David, when Shlomo le'is ziknaso, the Navi tells us in the 11th chapter of Sefer Melachim, that all of those laws of the king not to accumulate too much money, too many horses, and above all, too many wives that could lead him astray. He did all of these things, and the wisest of all men, and the most promising of all kings, was led down the wrong path. So what will happen? There will be consequences, Hashem says, Uvakati b'shevet pisham, uvenigoyim avonam. Yes, there will be punishment, there will be consequences, but v'chazdi lo'afir me'imo, v'lo'a sherker b'munati, but I will not withdraw my kindness and my commitment to him, lo achalel b'riti, I will not remove or somehow desecrate this sacred agreement between us, umotza sifatai, lo achanel, I shall not change my words, my speech, on behalf of David and his dynasty. And so, you know, of course, this promise was made, and the Ramban and the Rambam have a very famous debate about the status of the Chashmonaim, were obviously from Shevet Levi, they were Kohanim, and the status of their having seized their monarchy in the wake of their rededication of the Beit HaMikdash. The Ramban takes a very harsh position, and he says this was a violation of the singular role of Shevet Yehuda, which is already spoken about by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov said in his brachos to the tribes, "Alo yasser shevet mihuda mechokek mi ben raglav ad ki evoshilo v'lo yikat amim," and he says, "Lulei shayu chasidei elyon," even though the Chashmonaim were men of the highest level of piety, "v'il malei heim nishtachu atorah v'mitzvos mi Yisrael," and had it not been for them, there would have been a complete eradication of Torah culture from the Jewish people, because right, that was the attempt of the Yevanim, la'ashkicham tarasecha la'vir meichu keritzonecha, but the sin of having usurped the monarchy from the tribe of Judah, from Malchus Beis David, was so grave that they destroyed total destruction, as the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, that anybody would claim to be a descendant of the Chashmonaim is really a person who does not have the proper lineage, because they've all been annihilated. The Rambam has a more moderate position on this topic. He says that had Shaul, or perhaps those who followed Shaul, such as Yeravam, done the right thing, then is it possible that they would have had, you know, a monarchy that could have lasted for a longer period of time? Yes, the Ravid also agrees. The Ravid subscribes the notion of Kesar Uplag Kesar. They could have been sort of how secondary to the king in of the tribe of Yehuda. They would have had some status, but not the equal status the tribe of Yehuda. So there are different varieties of, you know, what exactly it means. V'chazdi lo afir meimo. Again, the Ramban taking the strongest view against any monarchy from outside the tribe of Yehuda. The Rambam, the Ravid, and the Ran taking other perspectives as well on this topic. But to get to the heart of the matter, so what exactly, you know, besides just the divine promise, what exactly accounts for this deep bond of loyalty? David relates to him as a father, and Afani Bechoret Nehu, Hashem says, and he is my firstborn. What accounts for that in the case when David or subsequent figures from his dynasty will not reflect loyalty to the mitzvos, to the bris that God enacted with him? And of course, the answer is as simple as it is poignant and penetrating. We're told that when Shaul, in the 15th chapter of Sefer Shmuel, fails to carry out the mandate that is given to the melech of l'hachri zaru shel ha-melech, so there's all kinds of excuses. It was the fault of the people, or that maybe he even, you know, discerned a higher will of God by taking the animals and offering them as korbanos. And Shmuel is unsparing, you know, in his criticism of Shaul, and it says this will cost you your malucha, your majesty. As he says, of course, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinachem ki lo v'nadam hu linachem. God is not going to change his mind about this. And so this sin, which was a very serious sin, because of course he had killed men, women, and children, but he hadn't fully carried out the mitzvah of Hashem. Sir Lichtenstein Zatzal once famously said it wasn't just that he spared Agag and the Meitav Hatzon, but that he killed everybody else. Right, it's murder to do that unless you're, you know, following the will of God to the T. So that's a very serious sin. But, you know, perhaps that Shaul reacted differently and said simply the words that David would later say, "Chatasi," that I have sinned, and things could have been very different. And we'd say that's exactly what happened. David HaMelech's sin with Bathsheba, you know, was a very grave sin. It involved two of the three cardinal sins: sexual immorality. She was a married woman. And Shvichos Damim as well. And yes, one can find technical justifications for all of these things. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Kol Omer David Chatein Ola Toa. The way that I interpret that Gemara is that if a person's only sense of who David was a sinner, that is deeply and highly problematic, because his legacy far outstrips them. We shouldn't tear people down based on even serious averos. We have to see it in the broader context of their contributions. But again, be that as it may, the first words out of David's mouth when he's given the famous parable of the poor man with one sheep, and the rich man takes it from him, and he appreciates from Nasan Hanavi that Nasan, of course, is speaking about him. David's response in two words, Chatasi l'Hashem, not only have I sinned, but I've sinned unto God, not only unto Uriah, not only unto Bathsheba, but I've sinned against God who, of course, has standards for us, not only in the realm of ritual conduct, but in ethical conduct as well. And in those two words, we can appreciate why it is, v'chazdi lo afir me'imo, why the kindness and the covenant between David and the Almighty is eternal and everlasting, how we can say it every day, three times a day, Estzemach David avdecha me'ras atzmiach v'karno tarim b'shuasecha, that David was the Eved Hashem, he was a servant of God, because when he failed, he was able to own up to it. And it's relevant, of course, all year long, but it's especially relevant this time of the year, because we're in a time of introspection and reflection, of tshuva, as the Rambam says. The fast days of the Jewish people are kedei la'orer halavavos liftoach darchei tshuva, that there's no weakness in owning up to our failures. The weakness is in covering them up, as Shaul did. The strength is to be able to own up, to own up to our actions, and to be able to grow and to build from all of them. Wishing everybody a meaningful day.